Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought you from Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava is daf Samach Beit, and we're in the middle of discussing the dinim of Ofot Tveim and the simonim of Ofot Tveim. So remember that we learned yesterday that there are 24 Ofot Tveim, and we analyzed them, that at one out of the 24, which is Nesher, has four elements that are completely the opposite of what the Torah, which is known to be a kosher bird since it's kosher for the Mizbeach, of what the Torah has. And that is that, first of all, it is Doreis. It has an Etzba Yitera. It has a Kurkavan that is Niklaf, that can be pulled apart by hand without a knife. We're going to see what the din is if you can pull it apart, but you need the help of a knife. But the pashtus is it's easily pulled apart, and it has a zefek. So we had those four simonim. I actually put the tuma and the tiger together. So if it's doreis, the orev is tame. It doesn't have a zefek. It doesn't have a korkavan niklav, and it doesn't have that etzba yitira, which according to Rashi means is actually lifted up a little bit behind the other ones. And according to other Rishonim, it means that the middle toe is long. Okay, so now the question was 23. We had 23 out of those birds. We have one of them only that has all four of the simonim of Tumah. And we have on the other extreme, we have two birds, the Peres v'Oznia, that have one simon of kashrus. The other, we have the Orev that has two, and we have the 23. And there, those 23, we have three of those simonim that are not kosher that are mixed throughout those 23. So one simon of non-kashrus in the Peres v'Oznia, but the Peres v'Oznia have different simonim of non-kashrus. Two simonim of non-kashrus in the Orev, and four simonim in the Nesher. So now the question is, in practical terms, what birds would you actually have to know in order to be able to be somech on your knowledge and examination of the simonim of a bird that come in front of you? So today, the Gemara introduces a new issue, which is the geographic distribution of these birds. Because if you are in an area where these birds, or particular ones of these birds, are not there, generally speaking, you don't have to be cautious that you have a strange manifestation of, say, a Peres and Oznia that arrived in a place that they never are generally found in. And this leads to a Mimar's Mimar today, which is where we got up to yesterday, and that is the Omar Amema on Samach Beit. So after we had gone through the issues of yesterday, talking about the Snunit, talking about the various simonim and different subspecies, the Zarzir of the Orev, which made us very careful about finding a bird that has two simonim, now we want to talk about what happens if you have a bird with one simon. So this Amema is pretty far down. So this is about three lines up from the middle of the daf, and four lines up from the middle of the daf. And Omar Amemar, Hilchita, in terms of the practical halacha, you can actually be semech if you have an of habab a simen echad, even if you have even one simen that is a mashma, that it is kosher, that simen echad is enough to be tahor, as long as it is not doreis. As if it's doreis, so then we're choshesh that it is, in fact, one of the birds that is not kosher. But says Rav Ashi to Amemar, how can that be? Yesterday, Rav Nachman essentially said that same thing, but he added the very important point. You've got to be able to know that this is not a Peres v'Oznia. And you don't even mention that as an issue. Why not? Hoder of Nachman Mai, what do you do with the problem of one simon being a basis of a heter if we know the Peres and Oznia have one simon and they're not in mutter? So how could you ignore that? Omar Lelo Shmieli, never heard of it, which of course is just a nice way of saying lo svirali. I don't believe that that is true. Why? Because my ego, what's the problem that Rav Nachman introduces? The fact that there is the chashash of the peres vosnia, mishum peres vosnia, that's not a problem, because those birds are less new biyishuv. Those birds are not generally found in populated areas, and therefore, assuming that you meet these birds in an area that is not wilderness, you don't have to be choshesh that it's a peres vosnia. They've never adapted to living in places where there is human population. Omer of Yehuda, Ofa misaret, you know what they call the scratching bird? Well, that scratching bird is kosher for Taharas HaMetzorah. Now, remember, for the Taharat HaMetzorah, you need two birds, both of which have to be kosher. One of them is shechted, the other one is dipped into the mixture of water, and blood from the other bird sprinkled on the Metzorah is the first step towards the Taharas HaMetzorah. Now, the question is, we do have a tzipor dror, and that tzipor dror was the one that the Mishnah says in Negoyim, that is a drawer. So the question, does that mean a specific kind of tzipor drawer? But the idea of drawer is that it lives wherever it wants, and it can even live in a house, and it eludes capture. And that's why they called it the ofa misaret. So it scratches it. If you try to pick it up and take it, it does not allow you to take it. It'll fight. So now the question is, this ofa misaret, is this the machlokas that we had before, which is the sinunit levana, which the machlokas we had before about Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim, as to whether the sinunit levana was a type of crow. I shouldn't say crow, but a type of orev, whatever that orev turns out to be. And he wanted to extend that as the sinunit levana also being also like the zarzir. And this is that bird. Omar Amemar, let me make it clear to you. It's not, when we say it's that bird, I mean, there's a wide range of what is known as the sinunit levana. So let me make it clear. If it really is levana, it's white and has a white tummy. So bechivra krase, kule yamalo pligidisharia. Everybody is made that tzipora misaret could be a sinunit levana, but it is definitely kosher, and it is not a type of bird that's possible on the basis of shnei simonim. The homach locus that we had before between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim is the yellow-bellied sinunit, the yiruka kreset. And there Rebbe Eliezer holds that the yellow-bellied sinunit is, in fact, one of the minos of Orev, and it's also Rabbanan, say that it's mutter, and in fact, we actually paskin like Rebbe Eliezer, that it's usher, but when it comes to the tzipor drawer of the Mitzorah, and it's a true white-bellied snuni, so then really everybody's mutter that it's kosher. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, if it's the yellow-bellied snuni, why do we call it the snuni levana? That we'll talk about. And there's a different way, which Marzutra said, that's not what Amemar said, and what Amemar said is a little different. That if it's Yeruka Krasse Kuliyamala Pligidi Asir, actually, the yellow-bellied snunit is everybody's mother, that it's not kosher. The machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim is Dafka, the white-bellied snunit, where there, Rebbe Eliezer says, even this type of snunit is aser, and the Rabbanan say, no, this is a different species, and it's mutter, and the halacha is like the Rabbanan, that it's mutter. So it's basically the opposite, the way he's understanding Amemar. Marzutra's version of Amemar is exactly the opposite, even in terms of how we come out of the way that we originally said what Amemar said. Now, the question, of course, is that if you hold that the machlokas is the way we just said it, according to Marzutra, then it makes sense that we call the sinunit levana the sinunit levana, because the machlokas is about the white-bellied sinunit, which is the sinunit levana. Masha inkein, if you hold l'man d'yomra p'diruka pligi, if you're talking about the yellow-bellied sinunit, so then why do we call it the white sinunit? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. My sinunit levana. No, the sunit levanah just means the light colored sunit. It doesn't really mean the white colored sunit, because there was also a black sunit, which was more similar to the Orevs. In order for you to distinguish between the black sunit and the ones we're talking about, they called it the light bellied sunit. But Lamaisa, there are two light bellied sunits. One of them is the yellow belly, and one of them is the actual white bellied sunit. Omar Rechava, Omar Rebbe Yehuda, the Tassil is Pasul Mishum Torin, and it's Kasher Mishum Bnei Yonah. So a Tassil is a bird that is a type of pigeon or dove. It's considered to be actually a dove, and it would only be kosher, therefore, if it was immature, so it hadn't reached puberty yet, and it was similar, therefore, to the Bnei Yonah. But if you try to use it as a tor, remember that we learned that the tor is dafka, the kind of a bird which is only kosher when it's mature. And the Gemara defined before how we know the difference, by looking at the feathers, particular feathers, when they turn color. So there we can tell the stage of post-puberty or pre-puberty. So the Bnei Yonah are only kosher pre-puberty. There's a different meaning, of course, but they have similar simonim in terms of the gradual change in coloration of the feathers to indicate that they've reached puberty. And the one that is the tassil is a type of yonah, and therefore it's only kosher in its immature state. And it would not be kosher, it would be pasul mishum tori. Now, there's other birds that are also called types of tori, and they're types of pigeons. So one of them is called the atzipe, and one of them is called the plaza pigeon, which is like a lot of pigeons hang out in the piazza, you know. So those are torin shel rechava. So these birds hang out in the square, and they're called that, torin shel rechava. So these are dafka only kosher when they are mature, and they're not kosher as types of doves. They're psulim mishum bnei yonah, and therefore, if they're immature, they're not kosher. Basi Rav Daniel bar Rav Katina, an extremely important issue that we've spoken about when we were dealing in Maseches Parah with the problem of the Mei Parah. So there's two issues with Mei Parah. Mei Parah that were used for any other purpose means shenaseh ben melacha or pasul. And Mei Parah that got mixed up with the water from something else also is considered to be pasul. And therefore, since it says that all of the different birds, posel mechatas, if they drank the mechatas, the way that most of these birds drink is that they'll insert their beak into the water, lift up their head, and the water goes down, and then they bend down to the water again, as you've seen, I'm sure, all birds that drink like that. And every time they put their heads back down, a little bit of the water that was in their beak goes back into the water of the para, which will passel it, both because it's an asipa malacha, and if there's any saliva or anything like that in it, it would also be passel because of a mixture. So the only birds that don't passel the mechatat is the yonah. And why is that? Because the way the yonah drinks is not by dipping its beak, but it actually creates a vacuum, and it vacuums up the water, such as a human would do in sucking from a straw. The only thing is that it doesn't release the water back down. It lifts up its beak, and all of the water that's in its mouth is sucked down, and therefore it doesn't have any problem. So since it is motzetzet, it sucks it up, and therefore, it's not going to pass. Now, if you are correct, the tassil you're saying is a type of ben yonah, but wow, that yonah is kosher. Not everybody knows that a tassil is a kind of yonah. So why didn't he mention that chutz mina yonah v'hatassil? Lisnei chutz mi yonah v'tassil. Omer Abizera, my dear friend, just because it's a type of yonah, that doesn't automatically mean that it is going to be kosher. Yes, it's true. If it's a type of yonah, it certainly doesn't have an entirely different way of drinking water. But the question is, remember that the yonah is kosher not only because it sucks the water, but because it doesn't release any water back down when it sucks. And the tassil actually does. It does use it. It's a type of yonah. It does suck up water, but it doesn't have such a perfected mechanism in which none of the water is let back in. And therefore, ze motze tzvimeki, the tassil actually lets a little water back out, which processes it. The meichatas, ze motze tzvimeki. So again, just because we identify birds as being subspecies, it does not mean that they're going to share precisely all of the elements of the mother species.
It has to dovetail complete.
Not bad. How do you explain that, actually, huh? See? These puns are actually insights. That is wild. That is really wild. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, there's other kinds of tori. So we know of the Torah that a kufshan is a tor in Aramaic. So the kufshani tzutziani. So the type of torim that are called tzutziani torim. So they're tzutziani pigeons. So those are kosher, even on the mizbeach. And that's what we were referring to before when we spoke about the piatza birds. Those are the torim shel rechava. But wait a minute. How could that be? We know that the Mishnah in the Goyim also says that the Ezov that we need to use, wherever the Torah said Ezov, I mean, the first place the Torah said Ezov was in Eretz Mitzrayim. And we're supposed to use the Ezov to put the dam on the Mezuzot HaPesach. Fine. We also have the Ezov used for the actual Hazoya of the Mechatas. And then we have the Ezov that we use for the dam when we put it on the mitzorah, which is the hechsher of the mitzorah. And that means in all of these cases, we need to identify particularly what is an ezov. So the Mishnah goes out of its way to explain what the ezov is. So an ezov has to be an ezov without a secondary subspecies name attached to it. So when we say Ezov, we don't include the Ezov Yavan, we don't include the Ezov Kuchli, we don't include the Ezov Romi, nor the Ezov Midbari, and for that matter, any Ezov, this was not Linnaeus who had suggested the idea of there being a primary name and then a subspecies name, this was from all the years. If you wanted to identify a subspecies, so then you would give it a second name. So when the Torah said Ezov, and it did not say any other type of Ezov, then that's the only Ezov which is kosher. And if you've got another name, an Ezov Yavan, so then it isn't kosher, because that's not the Ezov the Torah was talking about. It's not the Stam Ezov. So then if that's the case, when the Torah said Torim, it meant Torim. How do you have a right to add the Torim Shorechava, or the Torim, whatever, all of those names are specific identifications that mean that they're different subspecies, and the Torah didn't allow for any subspecies. So if the Ezov Yavan is possible, then the Torim Shorechava should also be possible. Omer Abaye, and here is an idea that we've spoken about numerous times and mentioned the Chazon Ish's approach to this issue. And that is kosher nishtana shmo kodem matan Torah. Anything which at the time of matan Torah was already recognized as having these different types of subspecies. Then if the Torah didn't address those subspecies, it means that they are excluded. But if those subspecies didn't exist because people were not sophisticated enough to have brought out all of these different types of Ezov, then they are included in the Stam Ezov, because the Stam Ezov at the time of Kabbalah Satera included all of these subspecies that now we don't want to just call a plain Ezov. And therefore, that is the rule in all cases where we have to identify a species mentioned in the Torah. So let's see that inside. It's a very important yesod. And I don't know. I would say that it's pretty long, but it definitely belongs in a Gavi list, let me tell you. And certainly since, anyway, all that writing is done automatically, so all you need to do, wave your magic pen, and let's include this. So kol shenishtane shmo kodem matan Torah, v'ikpida Torah lav, yesh lo shem levai pasul. Any species, subspecies that had been defined at the time of Kabbalah Satira is definitely not included today in the Stam species without that subspecies. But if it was Lonishtana, then of course it wouldn't be a problem. And these Tzutziani Torin, or the Torin Shorechava, or all of these cases that we were talking about, all of those only got their subspecies name after Kabbalah Satorah, and therefore they're not Nifsal because the Torah called a Tor a Stam Tor. They are the Stam Tor that the Torah referred to, despite the fact that today we don't call them as a Stam Tor, we call them Torim Shorechav. Rava Amar? Rava says that's not the point. The point is that the subspecies is not necessarily its name all over. If there is a place where these birds are called Torim Stam, and it's you in your place that identify these as a Torim Shorechava, then that's not called a real subspecies because they're not universally recognized as a subspecies. There's places where this is the primary species. These are Stam Torin. So in the location where this is the standard Torah, it is the simple Torah, and not the Kufshani Tzutziani, because Ba'atrayu Stam Akorile, in the place where these are the primary birds that we have of this species, they are called Torim, and that means that they are kosher without considered to have a subspecies. Now, here we have a very important machlokas Rashi and Tosafot. I had to understand the whole nature of what we're talking about over here, because according to Rashi, kraze are a reference to a type of chagav, which Tosafot says is ridiculous. Why would we be introducing the name of a chagav in the middle of the sugya of Ophos? It's true that kraze actually do mean usually grasshoppers, but we are talking about, says Tosfos, an extremely small bird that basically looks to you like an insect. Now, there are such birds, and they are incredibly tiny, about the size of a bee, and people usually think they are bees, and they're actually birds, and they live close down to the ground, and you could take a look at your bee hummingbird is what one of them is called. And this, according to Tosfos, is what we're referring to. And the beautiful chiddush, says Tosfos, is that they are usher not because they're not kosher birds. They are usher because they're not called birds. They're called sheretz ha'of, because any oaf that is down on the ground, remember, in the same way that we consider marine mammals to be fish that are not kosher, the definition of fish or birds or anything like that in halacha has nothing to do with its evolutionary history. It has everything to do with its environment. Fish are things that live in the water. It doesn't make any difference what they are. So they could be sheretz hamayim, they could be dagim. And if they're dagim, then they're bigger than just the sheretz hamayim. And they could be the kosher dagim. So that would mean that the same thing is true, says Tosfos, about the birds. If a bird, yes, you're right, you identify it biologically as a bird. But if it's a sheretz bird, it's called sheretz ha'of, and it's no different than a fly or a bee. And the issue over here is not the missing characteristics of the nesher and the or the peres vazniyah. It is simply the fact that this is not included in the list of birds because it's not called a bird. That's the beautiful point. So once again, it's very important to not think about any of these things in terms of their real biological classification. Remember, the rule overall, halacha, has to do with what things look like and how people relate to them. And therefore, here too, these are called sheretz ha'of, and just like the bugs living in the water, the sheretz ha'mayim. So those are considered to be, if they're the vekarve, they live in the cabbages. So then they're really the type that don't fly up, and they're considered, this is how Tosfos understands it. According to Rashi, it's all of a sudden, in the middle of all of this discussion of birds, we're switching to a discussion of chagavim, and we're saying the same way that there are birds that under certain circumstances, their name is almost the same, they look almost the same, but sometimes they're kosher and sometimes they're not. So according to Rashi, we're doing the same thing when it comes to either locusts or grasshoppers. These are krasi de vechilfe. So if they grow among the cane, so then they're kosher. And if they grow in the cabbage patch, then they are pasul. Omravina, and we actually will give you malchus on them, mishum sheretz ha'of. Again, according to Tosfos, this is that they are literally a sheretz ha'of. According to Rashi, what Ravina is saying is that the malchus, it's not that we're misupik, they are vadai. According to Tosfos, well, obviously, if they're sheretz ha'of, they would be chayiv malchus. What's the chiddush? That was part of his reason for saying that the malchus on the bird is not the malchus for a non-kosher bird. The Omer of Yehuda. You should know that there are birds that are similar. One of them is called the tsurada. The tsurada is mutter, but the barda is the one that's usser. And the way to remember is, like, sometimes you want to tell Barnea, please wait till after shear. So your simon is bar mine, please stop already. So, bar mine means, please stay away from us. You know the old story about the Pope? May the Lord bless and keep him far away.
The Tsar, Rebbe. What's the blessing for the Tsar? May the God give.
Yeah, very nice. He's back, you see. I told you. There's no escaping. And now, we're talking about the Tsrada and the Barda. I want to tell you about the Marda. The Marda is a Suffolk. Omer Vasi, we have 8 cases of Sfeikas, and I'll tell you what common denominator is in these 8 Sfeikas of birds. We've got the Chuva, the Chuja, the Suga, the Harnuga, the Tushlami, the Marda, the Kuchilna, the Barnavka. Now, these are 8 different birds that all share the problem. And what is that problem? The simen of Ofot Teorim, as we said, is that they have a kurkavan that is niklaf. All of these birds have a kurkavan that's niklaf, but you cannot pull it apart by hand. If you've got a sharp knife, then without cutting it, you could cut between them and they pull apart. But you can't just start pulling them apart with your hands. Now that's the question. Is that considered to be kurkavan or niklaf? Is that called peeling or is that called cutting? If it's peeling, maybe that's called kurkavan or niklaf. If not, since we don't know, we leave it as an iser. But wait a minute. What about the duck? Mar Shmuel had a duck. This is one of Richie's ducks that couldn't lo ave miklaf kurkavane. So they were trying to establish whether it was kosher or not, and were pulling at the kurkavan, and they weren't able to pull it apart. And then he left it in the sun for a bit, and when it warmed up, it got soft. Kivan derafi iklif. When it got softer, it was peelable by hand. So now the question is, why would there be a problem of these birds that have peelable with a knife? I mean, that should be basically the same as softening up. No, it's not the same. In that case, at least once you softened it up, you could actually pull it by hand. Mashenkein, here, this is even after it was softened up, you still needed a knife. And this really makes It's a good thing Richie doesn't really eat any meat over there in Finland anyway, so it's not much of a problem normally.
To quote the immortal Marx Brothers, why a duck?
So Hassan, at least keep roughing, Eclif the other. When it got soft, you could pull it apart by hand. Mashen came over here, even though it was rough, you still wouldn't need the sakina. So what does one have to do with the other? Now, just to make things more confusing, there are some species that are generally referred to as female. Whether they're male or females at that point, the name of the species uses a female form. And there are variations of those species that are called male, but they are not the same species, one a male and one a female. So the Tarnagula de Agma, so that means that the Tarnagula, which is a Lushan of male, which would mean a cock. So the cock of the Agam, the cock of the swamp cock. So a swamp cock is actually one of the Shmoneh Sfeikot, and it is called the Marda that we mentioned before. And as Rav Papa points out, the cock of the swamp is Usser, but the hen of the swamp is Mutter, which of course does not mean the male form of the species. That's ridiculous. Or the female form of the species. Males and females don't differ in kashrus. It means the name of the species that uses the male is the suffix one. And that's the one that's Usser. But
maybe I think we associate ducks with marshes.
Marsh.
Like a marsh.
That sounds better. Yeah, thanks. Okay. So I'm not quite sure what the difference is between a swamp and a marsh anyway, but yeah, I guess it's cleaner. It's the marsh. Anyway, the Tanagul Tadak Marsharia, and the way to remember that is Amoni velo Amonit. The Torah answered only the male Amonit, not the female Amonit, right? That's the whole basis of Malchus Beis David. Anyway, Moavi velo Moaviyah. So therefore, it's an easy way to remember. Males are not kosher, but females are. Dorash Marima, the Tarnagul Tadagma is Osir, because even though we thought originally, like Rav Papa said, that it's mutter, in the end, chazua de dar sava ochl. After some time, after he came up with that psak, someone actually observed it doing drisa. And therefore, we had to be choshish that it was a non-kosher bird. And Rashi, based on this, and this becomes now the whole problem of the shalah that I mentioned to you before, Rashi says that therefore, any bird that we don't have a misorah, just because it has simanim, you don't really know it has those simanim. Because how do you know that it isn't dores? I mean, just lo ra'iti, I didn't see it being dores. That's not a raya that it isn't dores. So therefore, Rashi tainas that you're always going to have a misorah that over the generations, this is not its behavior. And therefore, you can rely on it, but if you don't, you're just looking at it yourself, you don't see it being dores, and that is your simon, one of the simonim that it's kosher, it ain't much of a proof that it's kosher. So this, of course, is the big turkey problem. And it is a very serious problem in reality. There's no misorah on the turkey, and indeed, as I mentioned to you, the shalah didn't eat turkey because he saw it being dores. This is exactly the story that we have over here of the Tarnagul Tadagma. That marsh hen is the Giruta that we're going to be talking about later on in Kalabasa. So just remember what the Giruta is there. Omarav, the Shavur Andarpata is kosher. But the Piruz Andarpata is Usser. Now, how do you remember that? So Al Capone is the way to remember. In those days, Al Capone's name was Piruz Rishia. So all you need to remember is that the Al Capone bird is a mafioso. Don't eat it. So that's Pirus Rishia, and that's the Pirus Andarpat. And Omer Avuna. Now, the Bunya bird is kosher, but the Parava bird is Strefa. And the way to remember that is Parva Amgusha. Remember, Lishkat HaParva was made by this guy who was originally the famous magician in the Big Russia. So remember, it's also to do magic. Omer of Papa. There are two types of mardus, and their species name, actually, reflects their behavior. There's the Mardu Zagid V'yachar. That's the bird that it stands straight while it eats. That bird is mut. But there's a Mardu that is called the Mardu Zagid V'yachar. That's the Mardu that bends down to eat. That's not kosher. The way to remember which is which is Lo Tishtachavele El Acher. So the Mardu that bends down is actually bowing. So it's like bowing to other gods. That's your simon, but it's not kosher. Omar Shmuel, Shat Yachamra Asira, was a bird called the wine-drinking bird. So this bird apparently actually enjoys sipping from your cup. Well, that is usher. And the way to remember that is that Shetuye Yain, all puzzle for the Aveda in the Beis Hamikdash. And that reminds you of the Shtat Yachamra. Now, the Mazga Chamra, that's the word for a different bird that mixes its wine. So it's called the Mazga Chamra, drops water into the wine. Very similar to the problem we had with the Pora, Mepora. But the Bat Mazga Chamra, which of course is not the Bat of the Mazga Chamra, it's a different species called the Bat Look, we've got the Bat Hayana, right, is the name of the species. So we've got a Bat Mazga Chamra is kosher. And the way to remember that, this is the second time we've spoken about this simon. Simanecha, Yafe Koach HaBen Mikoach HaAv. So that was, remember, was referring to the halacha that a ben who is Yoresh can collect based on a contract without having to take a shvua that the contract had not been collected. Mashain king, if the father was still alive and he wanted to use this contract, he would need to make a shvua. So yofikoch ben mikocha. Omer of Yehuda. Now, there's three different types of shekitna birds. It's an amazing level of familiarity with birds, isn't it? I'm like, wow. Would be so nice to, my son-in-law has this pikiyas in birds, Nani's husband. He goes like every Friday, he spends the whole Rav Shabbos bird watching. So he's got like these places, it goes all over the country and the world. So anyway, so the shekitna, there's three types of shekitnas. There's the kind that is the long-legged red shekitna. So the long-legged red shekitna, that is kosher. And the way to remember that is it's similar to the Morzima. And the Morzima is a bird that looks like that. And it's they serve Morzima in the best restaurants. I mean, so everybody knows what a Morzima is. So the way to remember is the bird of the shekitna that looks like the Morzima is the one that's kosher. But the shekitna, the short-legged red shekitna, is not kosher. The way to remember that is that a Kohen who is a nanas, so he is very short. I mean, here it means that he's pathologically, he's actually a dwarf, is not allowed to do the Aveda. So a nanas is possible. And then there's the yellow long-legged shekitna. The yellow long-legged shekitna, this is just amazing. The yellow long shekitna, that one is also, and the way to remember that was this halacha that we had before about birds that fall into the fire. And the simon for that is Yerukin Pesulin. So if those Evarim that were normally red turn green, of course there it means green in there, but it doesn't matter. Yerok, remember, in Lashon HaKodesh is a broad range of colors. So the Yerukin are Pesulin. Now, what is the shalach that is mentioned in the Chavtalet Ofot? The shalach is the bird that is shole dagim min hayam. So it actually collects probably a cormorant, say some of them are foreshim, and Richie, any cormorants around the island? What's the deal over there of birds that are
shole? I haven't been out in the water yet. I haven't taken the boat out, but cormorants have become a bit of a pest bird. They've driven out the more regal birds, and they shit a lot. Their shit is actually valuable in certain parts of the world.
Oh, wait, those islands, those guano islands?
They're guano islands, exactly. Remember the bird island
that used to
have beautiful trees and birds?
All the
trees died because the cormorant shat on them. That was the whole big story, yeah. But they're protected birds, so you're not allowed to kill them.
That's what happens when I stop coming to everything turns into guano.
Yeah, everything turns to shit, right?
All right. So that's the shalach. And the duchipat, that is the bird, the shehodo kapfut. So its beautiful part is like spread out, stuck to its head. And that is that beautiful duchipat. And I just took a very beautiful picture of a duchipat here in the Tanya. They're very common here on the, and it's become, as you know, the national bird of Israel. Is the duchipat. I'm going to send you my beautiful picture.
The hoopoe.
The hoopoe. I'm going to send you my beautiful video. Can't resist. The thrall of Barnea is always allowed to do show and tell. One time in 20, 30, 40 years, I should be able to do show and tell, right? So I'm sending you my duchipat picture.
Very good. I just wanted to say, I'm already saying in an hour, I'll send a picture of Tarei HaRechava. I'm not trying to compete with Rebbe, but I'm going to be there.
You're not trying to compete with Rebbe. I like that. That is rich.
No, I'm just the Tamimo sharing as it comes. I'm not trying to compete at all.
I don't know. Shmuel Hanina is giving a very knowing look. He doesn't seem to agree. So the Duchipat, Tanya Nami Yochi, there's a brighter that actually explains this. That the duchifat is called the duchifat shahodo kafut. Its most beautiful part is spread attached to its head. And this was the bird that was actually the tarnagot of Vera that brought the shamir to the Beis Hamikdash, which was the whole complicated, how did the Gemara talks about the whole story of Shlomo HaMelech, that he wanted to, this was the old Mamish, goes over in Gittin, a very long story, how it is that he was able to get the Shamir, and how they were able to fool the Tarnagot of Ra into releasing the Shamir, which then committed suicide. It was like this whole unbelievable story. And this is the bird that was used in order to bring the Shamir. Wow. Okay, I think we should, we don't want to finish up this whole next daf?
It's a very long daf. The next one is short. It's a very long Tamar Shuvas Batamuz. Rebbe's call.
So you feel we should go weiter?
A little bit. Look at the length.
What's the length?
The time it will take to do daf Samach Gimel is a lot.
Well, are you kidding? We've done daf in here that were three times this long. This is.
Let's get to the Tanur Rabbanan. Okay. Let's go to the Tanur Rabbanan.
Fine. Very good. So when we got up to, I hope I didn't press anything. No, I didn't. Okay.
This is why he was chosen as a national bird, because he's helping build the Beis Hamikdash. That makes it worthwhile. That's great.
Hey, yeah, you're right. I always wondered, why did they call? Of course, that's why. Fantastic. When Rabbi Yochanan would see the shalach that used to just, all of a sudden, it's amazing. This bird is like just flying over the water, and almost instantaneously, as it sees a fish in the water, the dive and the grabbing of a fish from even a couple of meters down is astounding. And it's just within a half a second, it's flying out of the water with that fish in its mouth. So when Rabbi Yochanan would see a shalach, you would say Mishpatecha Tohom Rabbah. A beautiful insight. You are a happy fish going about minding your own business and not realizing that you forgot to say Kriyat Shema that morning. Comes a shalach, takes you out of your comfortable depths and swallows you all up. That's Mishpatecha Tohom Rabbah. Wow. And when he would see an ant, he would say, wow, that's amazing. Tzidkascha kehar reyel, that even the small ant is capable of carrying things that are as heavy as a mountain would be for us. Many times its own weight. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it that keach to be able to provide for it. How lovely. Amar Mima. The lakne and the batne birds are mutter to eat, but the shaknai and the batnai birds depends on the minhag. Makom shenagu lechol ochlim. Makom shenagu shelo lechol ein ochlim. What? I don't understand. How can it be dependent in a minhag? It's dependent on minhag, isn't it halacha? Now, this is a question that we raised earlier, because if, and this is gufa the raya to those who follow Barnea's approach, in which if there's a minag, meaning that they have a misera in one place, then all places should be able to eat it. Because if not, then there's a very simple answer to the Gemara's question. Why are you asking Otu b'minhaga talya milta? Well, who said minhaga? It's totally been miseret. In this place, they had the miseret. In Taman, they ate this kind of bug. And in Germany, they didn't eat this kind of bug. So why can't it be totally in the miseret? So you see from here, the Gemara doesn't even consider that to be a possibility, which would mean that if there is a Masera in one place, it's clear from here that all places can rely on that Masera, because otherwise this Gemara's kasha doesn't make any sense. So what are you asking? The Rishonim bring this actually as the marker of that heter. So how would it be dependent on a minhag? It is dependent on a minhag, not because of Masera. I'll tell you why. The low kasha. There are places where they will not eat the shaknai and the batnai. Why? Because those are places that the peres and the ozniya actually are found in. So that's nowhere near Finland, closer to Tahiti, you know. There you've got the peres and ozniya. Richie only goes there at other times of the year when there's no availability of skiing, you know. So okay, then you go to see the elephants and stuff like that. So
Rabbi,
as my memory
holds, the shaknai is a pelican, and we have lots of pelicans in our area. Imagine trapping a pelican and cooking them up for Shabbos.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so it depends on whether peres and ozniyas are there. If a peres for ozniyah is there, so then they actually assert it, because there it's easily misunderstood, because both of them, they're similar to the peres for ozniyah. They only have one siman of tire. And therefore, in order to people to avoid eating the peres for ozniyah, they don't eat birds with one siman of tire. Masha'inkein, where there is a minig that they do eat them, is ba'atu de lo shkicha peres v'ozniya. And in Amar Abaye, there's other birds that also are similar. We have the kui and the kakui, which is aser, but the kakauta is sharia. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, if anybody ate a kakauta, they held it was vadai not kosher, and they would actually give malchus on it, and it would be a real iser d'oraisa. And so apparently, remember, we had questions before about whether some of the simanim, it's not so black and white, such as the Kurkavana Niklaf and so on. These were birds that over there they held that they were mamish, not kosher. What's that fish in South Africa that where everybody was the kingfisher? What was it called?
That they Kingclip. Kingclip, Ribby. Kingclip.
Huh?
Kingclip.
Kingclip?
Yeah. Kingclip.
Kingclip. Anyway, so this was a bird that, a fish that people were eating for years. It turned out to be a big, they made a big deal about it, a big something about it. And now, like, what defines your Judaism in South Africa is whether you'll eat kingclip or not. Okay.
It was served at the Masara Suda because they said there's very tiny scales that you don't see. They backed the Masara of South Africa.
So you can.
They made it optional. They said this is machlokas. Just want you to know you have your.
Well, at least they made it
optional. So Rabbi Barnes bringing up a case where instead of having a Masara about the fish, the Masara had the fish.
I'll follow it in the course of the day, maybe, Bone.
It's called the Masara dinner. They call it the Masara dinner.
Give me time. Okay. So the in Eretz Yisrael, they would actually give Malkus, and they had the name Tachvata on it. And we've also have the bird that we know about, which is called the Tinshamet. So the Tinshamet is one of the Chavdalet Ofos that are Tmeim. But there's also one of the Shrutzim is called the Tinshamet, which is weird. And it's one of the Shmona Shrutzim, and it is therefore Mitame Benevela. So Tana Rabbanan, the truth is these two things are very similar to each other. So that bats and rats produce similar. So the or molds. So Tinshemet is called the Ba'ut of the Ofot. And the Ba'ut, Rashi says, could be an owl, because he says it's the bird that goes woo woo at night, or Rashi says it could be a bat, which also makes sense, because the word Ba'ut means ugly, the Pashtas. So, Ataomer Ba'ut Sheba'ofot, maybe it's listing the same thing that it was listing among the Shrutzim. So, maybe the name of Tinshamet that appears here in the Chof Dalet Ofos is not one of the birds. Maybe it's throwing in the name of a mole or something that looks like a bat. Ah, that's not possible. And this we know from one of the Yud Gimel Midas. Tseil amad mi Yud Gimel Midot shatorah nidreshet behem. What is that called? Davar halamed mi inyano. Context is definitive. And therefore, what is all the rest of this list about? It's clearly about birds, as it starts off and it says. Therefore, that pusik, which is in the middle of those birds, are birds, even though they seem similar to a sheretz. And they look similar. We have the same exact braita that occurs in defining the tinshamet among the shrutzim. Totaninamek abi shrutzim, kai gavna. The tinshamet is the Ba'ot Shebeshratzim. But here we're talking about in the list of the Shmona Shratzim. And there too we said, what makes you think it's the Ba'ot Shebeshratzim? Maybe it's the Tinshemet of the Ofot. And there too we said, Amrit, Sei Ulamad, Miyud Gimu Midot, Shatorah Nidreshet Behem, Davar Halameh Bein Minyano, Bamea Katu Bidaber, Beshratzim, Afkan, Beshratzim. Actually, to identify them, says Abaye, the Ba'ot Sheba'ofot is called the Kipuf, and the Ba'ot Shebeshrotzim is called the Kurpedai around here, so it's kind of mole, the way Rashi explains it. And he says, okay, according to the Pshat, that it, the other one was the bat, so a bat has a mole-like face, says Rashi, so this really would make sense, that it would be similar. Omer of Yehuda, the Ka'at, is also one of the Chof Dalet Ofos, is actually the Kuk. And the Racham, which is mentioned together with the Ka'at, is the Shrakrak. The Shrakrak makes a lot of noise. That's why they call it the Shrakrak, which is that's the sound that it makes. So there's some actually Pirushim in the Laz that say that the Shrakrak is called a magpie, and a magpie actually goes Shrakrak. So they tie that this is, in fact, the Shrakrak. So why is the rocham called a rocham if it's a shrakrak? Just call it a shrakrak. Ah, because when the rocham comes, it's a sign of rachamim, because it comes before the rain. And when there, all of a sudden you find entire flocks of shrakraks, it means that there's going to be rain. Amar of Bibi Barabaya. Now, that's only if it's actually sitting and it's going shrak, rock, shrak, rock. It has to be sitting. So it's a mide and it's going shrak, shrak. Now, let me tell you, if it actually sits on the ground and it goes shrak, rock, forget about the rain. That's the ultimate rock. I mean, and it's a sign that Mashiach is coming. And Gemiri, this is a Kabbalah that we have, that if you ever see a magpie sitting on the ground and going shrak, rock, it's time for Mashiach. And we see the remnants to that in the Pasuk. Eshrikalahem ve'akabtzeim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will actually whistle, Shorek, I will whistle to call together all of the Goliaths of Bnei Yisrael and bring them together to Eretz Yisrael. But that can't be true. I know about a rocham that was sitting there in the middle of a field, and it was going shrak rock, and a stone, a meteorite, came down and crushed its head. They won't know Mashiach, says Mar Bar Avidai. Exactly. He was a phony. That was a shrak rock, was a phony, was trying to get a lot of attention. He figured, my gosh, they're going to put me on the front page of the Rolling Stones. And because of that, they wiped him out with a meteorite.
Fake news.
Exactly. The original fake news that will be so matzvi, Bizman HaMashiach. So who, by the Havi, he was a phony. I think that this is enough for us.
There's a Girsa Biden.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful stories. All right. So if anybody who sees a magpie today going shrak, shrak on the ground, please take a picture before anything goes wrong. And then we can actually put him on the Rolling Stones. Yeah, shrak, rock, rock, man. Okay, beautiful, Rabbi Osai. So lovely being with you and having so much fun with the daf. Look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to more tomorrow. Kol tov.